want to tell you very much that starting August, 6th August, we will shift the time for the youth worship to 3:15 instead. Not a whole lot of difference. For those of you who are coming direct to the youth worship, it's 3:15. If you come 3 o'clock, good. Then you are early. But if you have going to the young people, or the young adults, there would be a little bit of time up to 3 o'clock. And then try and see whether you can squeeze in a time. 3:15 will start. Okay, so you will have a full hour. I think that would be a wonderful thing. All right, and so we start at 3:15. Now, that means to say that you just have to use your time wisely and well. But we will start at 3:15. We will still try to end at 4 o'clock. We will adjust our time depending upon the message, depending upon the day. We'll just see. All right, but it will be 3:15 starting 6 August. Right. Okay, well, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Today we are going to look into a new chapter at Genesis 37. And I think this chapter has got a lot of things that we can relate to, resonate with, and it has to do with family life. If you're the only child in the family, it's a little bit different. But if you get more than one, you will find that this story is going to truly, truly come alive to you, hopefully. And I just hope that, you know, you will let the story itself speak to your heart, the lessons to be learned go deep down inside you, and you'll learn the lessons which I hope will stand you in good stead. And that's what we're here to do. Each week we come to learn Bible lessons. But it's just not Bible stories. It's a difference between Bible stories and Bible lessons. Bible stories you grow up with when you are a child. Bible lessons for you can say, okay, how do I apply this story into my life? That is where the challenge really is. And for that, we need to seek the Lord. We have to pray and humbly apply the lessons to our life. And that's what we're going to do today, to pray, to have the scriptures read for us, to have people pray for us, to listen to the message, to take time to relate, sing songs to the Lord, and encourage each other. Then worship becomes very real and alive. Think about this, right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for both Bible lessons which we read and stories which we can gather from the scriptures. Teach us how to move from stories into lessons and how these lessons can become alive to us. I pray that you will help us to read your word with greater understanding and then have the word of God become even more real and applicable. Pray for your blessings as we take time to worship you this afternoon. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a time of singing together for a little bit and then have the scriptures read for us and a prayer given on our behalf as intercession. Okay?
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Yuan Li and this is Lorraine. And today we are really happy to be back in the Lord's house to worship Him. And for the both of us, we have an added reason to rejoice in returning back to church because we were down with COVID recently. So truly thank God for the way that He has kept the both of us and all of us as well. It has really been such an enriching time of being able to study the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we study the lives of these patriarchs, one thing that is important and vital is not about the characters themselves, but it is how God reveals Himself to us. And it will always be about the Lord. It is, it has been, and will always be about the Lord. And as I thought about God, who worked in the lives of the patriarchs, how can I even begin to describe this amazing, great God? You know, there is no single adjective to be able to encapsulate the person of God Himself. You know, He is one that is without limits. He is one that cannot be confined. And only with our finite minds that we can humbly attempt to fathom who God is like and what God is like. And I have chosen this first song entitled, You Are. I like how the author of the song, Mark Roach, attempts to describe the attributes of God. So in the first verse, he wrote, God is holy, He is faithful. And he goes on to appreciate the intrinsic person of God. And in the second verse, he writes that God is comfort, He is refuge, He is kindness, and compassion. That is who He is as a person. And what resonates with me strongly is in the bridge of the song, a line that says, You are my God and my King. As I study about the events in Genesis, and as I thought about this amazing God that works in the lives of the patriarchs, a recurring question beckons, is the Lord God truly my God? We all can have a very personal God, and this is the truth that I prize above all things. For me, it is unthinkable that this perfect God would even want to be associated with me and much more involved in my life. I was not born in a Christian family, yet the Lord would reach out and invite me to be His child. When I thought that my problems in school, at home, were too insignificant, yet they mattered to the Lord who provided sufficient grace at every juncture. And as I look at what He is doing in my life today, I thank God that He continues to change and convert me for the better as I battle against sin and weaknesses in my own life. I am truly, truly grateful that He is a personal God and I can have a faith that is called my own. And today as we come to offer praise to the Lord, it is and will always be about God. And as we present this song to the Lord, You Are, you know, let us focus our thoughts on who God is to us. And may we worship Him as not one who is perfect, but also personal to all of us. Let's take this song together, You Are.
Thank you for your fine singing. The next song we'll be singing is Lord, I Need You. And personally, I find this song difficult to sing. Not because the tune is hard to catch, and in fact, I'm quite sure most of you are familiar with the song. I find this song difficult to sing because of what this song means. And this song speaks of a full dependence on God. However, truly understanding and then confessing that we need the Lord is difficult. And one of the reasons why it is difficult to understand this deep need for God is because we are often desiring to be self-reliant and independent. And this desire to be self-reliant is innate from young. I'm not sure how many of you have observed how toddlers behave, but they like to do adult things and be independent. I have 4 young cousins, and I've seen how they would insist to feed themselves, even though half the food on their spoons never makes it to their mouths but lands on the floor instead. And they would also be really happy if they could press the lift door buttons by themselves. And this desire to be independent is not just in the young, but we've also seen this through the lessons we've learned last week about Esau and how he was content with his secular blessings and he did not include God in his life. So understanding this full dependency on God is difficult, but admitting that we need the Lord is another issue altogether. And we usually find it hard to admit that we need the Lord. And this is because the world sees dependency as weakness, and we would not want to appear weak. And more often than not, when we face difficulties, we turn to our own human solutions instead. And only when we have come to our wits' end do we turn to the Lord in prayer. So what is interesting about this song is that the songwriter acknowledges these difficulties, and his response is enclosed in a prayer. And in the bridge it reads, "Teach my song to rise to you when temptations come my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay." The songwriter's prayer is that the Lord would teach him to rely on God because he knows that this is not his natural response. So may this song not just be a song that you sing in the difficult moments of your life, and may this song be a personal prayer that the Lord would help us to understand this deep need for him and to humbly admit that we need him every hour. So let us take the next song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 11. This passage is an introduction to Joseph and illustrates his tense relationship with his brothers, as well as his two dreams of greatness from God. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him.
Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words.
Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Good afternoon. It is truly my joy to be able to lead you in the pastoral prayer. An important lesson about prayer is learning what it means to have the spirit of thanksgiving. The problem with many of us is that we tend to take things for granted. When someone opens the door for us, or when one of our parents were to do something for us, do we offer a word of thanks? And this is something that we don't do even when we talk about praying to the Lord and giving thanks for the blessings that He has showered upon us. I remember the story of the Lord Jesus healing the 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to say thanks to the Lord Jesus and gave glory to God. And this was a Samaritan. And there were 9 other Jews who did nothing, even though they had more knowledge than this Samaritan. They took things for granted. This is something that we want to learn from. It is not just a matter of thanksgiving. It is actually a matter of faith. The Lord Jesus commended the Samaritan for his faith. Your faith has made you well. Faith in God teaches us what it means for us to have a deeper heart of gratitude to God for all that He has blessed us with, His grace, His mercy, His love. And we really want to be able to learn how we can go to God in prayer and to offer to Him thanksgiving because of our faith. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before You, we recognize that we have taken many things for granted. Forgive us when we do not express gratitude for the things that have been done for us. Help us, Lord, to grow our faith as we learn to offer words of thanksgiving to You. We give thanks for all the manifold blessings that You have showered upon our lives, both physically and spiritually. We thank You for all the spiritual lessons that we have learned through our study of Genesis and the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even as we embark on the study of the life of Joseph, may we be able to discover deeper lessons from Pastor Charles, even as he teaches us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, we are going to look at Genesis 37 this afternoon. And I'm going to try to help you to understand this particular chapter a little bit, because it's just going to take a little while to go through the whole chapter. Well, let's take a look at this very carefully. And we're going to talk about the son of his old age. What does that mean? So the first couple of verses, we call it the history of Jacob. History is like, okay, this is like a story, as it were, right? And so you have a history of it all. Our focus is not so much history, but lessons of history. They're two different things. You can have a story, and it may not have a whole lot of meaning. It's just a story or history. That's it. So you know the facts, you know the details, but we don't know how to apply them much. Right? Now the world hasn't learned. First World War, you know they call it the War that will end all wars. Right? The 1919, 1920, thereabouts, and then before we know it, 20 over years later on, Second World War starts. Have we learned anything? No. See? So that's history. And then wars in Africa, wars in Vietnam, Korea, you name it. We are now, it's Russia and Ukraine. So this is history. What are the lessons we have learned? Nothing much. Except to make better weapons, kill more precisely, that's it. Now drones, right? Instead of sending people. You know, last time when we first met, you take your rifle, I take my rifle, I sort of appear and shoot you. If I am unfortunate, I get shot at. That was it. Today, the Ukrainians don't know what to shoot because those missiles are coming from all over the place, and then they fire them and they get killed. They have no idea what killed them, what hit them. See, things have changed. We're not learning the lessons that we need to learn. But our lessons are not on war. Our lessons are on family. So the first lesson we want to learn is what we call relationship. That's the first lesson. All right? Now, relationship is an important thing to learn. So let's take a look at the relationship. Okay? So we have Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger. Right? So that's Isaac and that's Jacob. So they live literally in Canaan. That's what it means. So they were like strangers. They were not. They don't have citizenship in those days. It's where you live. But if you were to live in Canaan and become a Canaanite, then you'd be just like the people in Canaan. But they were not. So they were not like the Canaanites. That's why they were called a stranger. You see the whole idea? So did they relate to the people in the same way? No. They were different. And so they were called strangers. Right? So all the men, they would be circumcised. None of the people would be. They would not worship idols. Everybody else does. So they were strangers, as it were. So what was the relationship with in Canaan? Nothing. Right? They were strangers. People look at them, hey, you're very different. Oh, yes. Not because we speak differently, but because we are different in so many ways. There's faith in God, there's our behavior, there's our family. Okay, that is called a relationship. Right? Now, that is with reference to the land. Now, that's important. Secondly, then we take a look at relationship within the family. Now, this is important. Right? So we have in Genesis 35, for example, right? We have all the sons. There were 12 of them mentioned. Verses 22 to 26. All the boys were mentioned. Unfortunately, Dinah did not get mentioned. Right? But that was how it was in those days. You don't get mentioned. Right? So in family, of course, not going to happen today. So boys, only Christopher get mentioned. Two sisters not mentioned. Why? They'll get angry. Right? So Asia, worse, no mention. Because there's nobody. Now that's how it was in the past, but not today. So we have a relationship where we have what we call full brothers and half brothers. Right? But still family. You understand what I'm trying to say? So we have mentioned, for example, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and of course the missing person there was Dinah. So 6 plus 1, 7. These are called full siblings, blood relationship. And everybody else would be what we call half brothers. right? So you watch the second set, sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. See, they put them together, right? They put them together to show what we call a blood relationship, full blood relationship. Now, this is how to read the scriptures and to understand it. So you read, now it's to understand, not the same. Okay? So now we go on further to sons of Bilhah, Dan and Naphtali. So that's one. And then Zilpah, Gad, and Asher. Can you see this? These are what we call full brother siblings relationship. And then the rest were all half sibling relationship. It's called a half brother. But they were still family. You understand the difference between a full blood relationship and not? Right? So if the father, same mother, full blood relationship. One father, different mothers, half brother. Right? So, but still family. We call that relationship. Now, what is the next word to learn? Lesson. Rapport. Right? Rapport is spelled R-A-P-P-O-R-T. It's not report. Spelled wrongly, report. That's different. It's not harbor, port. It's just rapport, meaning to say relationship developed. We call that rapport. Right? Now, this is where the problem begins. A person can have a relationship, but not a rapport. Right? Now, this is important. Now, this is something that we all need. Rapport is something you develop. A relationship, there's no choice. You're born, you're part of the family, you've got no choice. But rapport building, different story entirely. That depends on who you are, whether you want to do anything about it or you don't. Same here. You want to listen, you don't want to listen, it's up to you. You want to pay attention, you don't want to pay attention, it's up to you. That is called rapport building. You understand? Right? So that is where we are at. Okay, now let's look at some things that can turn out badly. Well, let's take a look. So 37, not great rapport. When you are 17 years old, you feel, wow, you are on top of the world. You know, there's lots of rapport. And we read, right? So Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now that was the first problem. How are the brothers doing? That one sleeping, that one neglectful, the other one lazy, the other one chit-chatting with all, the sheep went astray. You got so many sheep, how to go and keep account? You know, some people count sheep and fall asleep. So Joseph, 17, came back. All no good, no good, no good, no good, no good. And there is a bad rapport. Relationship, still brothers, rapport, not so good. You see the problem? Now, of course, Joseph, if he says everybody good, then he'll be telling a lie. But if he tells the truth, rapport not good. Because much depends on how you go about it, right? If you are doing a good job, great. But if you are not doing a great job, how can you prevent a bad report? But it affects rapport. All right, so this is where the rapport was a big problem. Bad report. Okay, number two. What's another problem? Okay, now in verse 3, the father's love. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Okay, now this is very important. It does not say Joseph was the only one loved. No. It simply says that all the rest were loved, but Joseph was loved more. See the difference? Now, if Israel or Jacob loved only Joseph, all the rest, he can't be bothered. Now, he would be wrong. Right? But this one, obviously the first one, hopeless. Right? He did bad things. How to like a bad person? Obviously not so good. Simeon and Levi, murderers. How to like them? He still loved them, but problems, obviously. Right? So this group of blood brothers, six of them plus one, hey, he has got difficulties with them. Understandably. So then there was a relationship. He loved Rachel. This was the firstborn from Rachel's side. There was love more than. See the problem? Not that there was no love. It's just more than. Now, I think we all understand this, right? Supposing you are 1, 2, 3 in the family, and you say you expect all love equally, not possible. Sure, right? But the question is, why the father loved more than the others? Why would, for example, Israel not love Reuben? Because he's a bad fellow. Why would he not love Simeon and Levi so much? Because they are murderers. Right? Instead of understanding this, they get angry. See, there's no rapport built. Now, this is important. Sometimes bad rapport, not because of the father, but because of ourselves. If we are the problem, let's say you are lazy. Let's say you are rude. Let's say you are nasty. Nobody likes you. Who are you to blame? How come he doesn't love me? How come my father doesn't love me? Because of you. Not because of the father alone, but because of ourselves. Right? I mean, all of us have these challenges. I mean, these are very, very obvious things. Okay, does my father love me more than my... I had a younger brother. He's passed on already. Does my father love me more than my younger brother? No, he loves my younger bro more than me. Okay, I understand. That I understand. Right? I have to understand. Got no choice. But you see, the rapport is either built or is not built. In this case here, the problem lies partly with the brothers. Right? What about Joseph? Now, remember, he is 17. One day there was a school school teacher, and he gave a mathematics problem. So he said, two apples, two oranges, together, how old I am? How old am I? What kind of question is that? Apples, oranges, how old is he? One boy raised his hand, I know. Really? He said, yes. What's my age? 34. Hey, how come you know? He said, I tell you how I know. I have a sister. She's 17 and she's half crazy. You ask a question like that, two apples, two oranges, how old am I? You must be 34. You are fully crazy. You see the problem? Here is 17 years old boy. And he makes a bad report on the brothers. No, he's truthful. But he's not very wise. At this stage, 17, no, you don't expect very much wisdom. So he has a dream. You know, can I tell you my dream? Who wants to hear your dream? First, relationship is there, rapport is not there. After he has made a bad report,
Everybody will be staring at him. Why you say that? How come you tell Father that? Now we are in his bad books. Of course, rapport was not built. Right? Now you tell this story. Oh, this is even angrier. They were angry, obviously, 37. And then we read from anger to hatred. They hated him. Right? For good reason. Bad report. For whatever reason, the father gave him a nice jacket, a nice coat. Right? Lots of coats. Some coats, one color. Right? So Asia has called different colored clothes, jacket. Mine only one color. See, one color, one color. That one got many colors. So there it is. You see, when you are given a coat of many colors, you take good care of it. You take good care of it, you don't dirty yourself. You make sure every part is clean, which literally, 17 years old, he's like supervisor, you know. Make report on all the brothers. And all the brothers are working. He's taking a pen, right? This one lazy, this one sleeping, this one nasty, this one talk too much, this one sleep too much. I mean, he is creating problems. Rapport, not great rapport built, obviously. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Then we read in verse 4, they hated him. No rapport. They couldn't speak peaceably with him. In other words, every time they talk, sarcasm. Every time they talk, nasty words. Every time they talk, they can't be bothered. Rapport was not there. Relationship was there. Rapport was not there. What happens now? We come to the next lesson, result. Right? If rapport is not built, bad results are going to come. So when there we go, right? So we read, so they hated him even more. All right, so let's begin with, okay? First one, verse 4, they hated him. Why? Because father loved him more. Number 2, verse 5, they hated him even more because of the dream. Right? Then we go on further. Verse 8. They hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Right? Hated him more, hated him more for dream and words. Oh, what else can you say? Then we read, he had another dream. Some people just dream a lot. And look, I have dreamed another dream. This time, sun, moon, stars all bowed down to me. So he told his father, his brothers, and his father rebuked him. Hey, what is this? Right? Now, this is important. So, you know, a dream is a dream. You know, one day, there was a husband and wife because they both liked to eat. And then the wife had this dream. There was so much food. But before she had a chance to eat anything, the husband had gobbled up all the food. It's in a dream. And she woke up and he slapped the husband. He said, why you slap me? You were in my dream. You ate up everything. See, it's so real to her. She ended up and slapping him. And of course, he didn't know what was happening. So dreams in those days were things that people would like to have, but cannot find. You cannot say, tonight I will dream. You can't say that. You don't know what you will dream or you won't dream. Most of us, not so good dreams. Somebody chasing you, you fell down. Have you ever had a dream? Right? So sometimes you get all kinds of crazy dreams, depending upon what you read, depending upon what you experience. But we read. The father had to rebuke him. And then his brother envied him. Why? Because he's getting all the dreams and they were getting nothing. You see the problem of it all? So relationship does not necessarily mean they're close. You need to have rapport. A rapport you have to develop. Rapport, you have to work at it. You have to understand each other. You can be kind to each other. You can encourage each other. But if you don't, you just say it out at 17 years old. Oh, I tell you, there are going to be problems, obviously. So the result was that they hate, and envy. When you have hate, and envy, well, what are you going to have? It's going to be a really big problem in time to come, which we won't see just yet. So what lessons are we going to learn from all of these things here? The story is easy to understand. The lesson is not so easy to understand and to apply. Okay? Now, we can't change relationship. We are born in a family, that's it. Right? But we can do a lot of things to develop rapport. One, don't allow hate to ever come in. That's the first thing. Two, don't let envy come in. Maybe your brother, your sister more talented. Maybe your sister looks better than you. Maybe the person smarter than you. Maybe everything, and you say, right? Now, interesting to look at this. D.L. Moody used to tell this story. He was a great preacher and in America, and he said to all the people, you know that when I, by my speech, you know that I'm not educated very much. And that's true. He only had primary school education. That's it. But he can tell stories, and every time he tells stories, people become Christians, they get converted. And so he says, I want to tell you a story, tell you what it is. You see, this is what God wants to have from people. Right? God is not looking for super scholar students. No. He's not looking for the A grader. He's not looking for the most talented person. He's not looking for any. He remembered one pastor saying this to him. Right? He was not anything. He cannot teach Sunday school because he doesn't know enough. So he cannot help any, but he is very good at helping people. So someone said to him, one pastor said to him, no one knows what God can do with a person who is 100% heart for God. So that's what he said to all the people. God is not looking for your talents, for your intelligence, for all the wonderful things that you can be. I am a person with very little talent. But my heart, 100% for God. And that's how he shares the gospel with people. And people realize they're not greatly smart, they are not very talented people, but their hearts can be for the Lord. And that's how a rapport and a relationship of faith is developed. And that's what can happen to us, right? So if we really, really want, now family life is like that. The family can be very badly broken up. Or the family can have a tremendous rapport with each other, and you can support each other. Now we're going to begin this story here. There is a relationship, but very little rapport. What will the results be? Well, next week we find out a little bit more of what our results are going to be like. But your challenge today is build that rapport with your brother, with your sister. Don't just simply say we are brother, sister. Build that rapport. Build that relationship. We call building relationship rapport. And that is going to help you in the most wonderful way in time to come. Right? But let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the history lessons in the scriptures. Help us to learn the lessons we must learn. Thank you for relationships with family members, with parents, with siblings. Help us to learn how to develop a rapport instead. A rapport based on truth, on honesty, on faith, on love for you, most of all. We pray that you will help us to look forward to wonderful results that can come when we rebuild a rapport well. We pray for your blessings as we continue to read the book of Genesis. Open our understanding further and bless the lessons that we learn. Challenge us to understand the lessons and to apply them in our life. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here is the challenge. Learn lessons of history very well. Don't just know the stories. Learn the lessons. So if you have not said any good thing to your sibling recently, try.
right? You know, I mean, that is just absolutely wonderful. I think that really, really would be helpful. Now, you have a great weekend and keep on staying safe, okay? The Lord's blessings.